Of course, it's time now for the sunny side of sports with Sunny Young. And happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand Nations Cup football fever is building in Africa.
Kim, we're now only 3 days away to the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Equatorial Guinea. Joining us once again to talk about the competition is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Thank you very much, Sunny.
David, as you well know, Equatorial Guinea has had only about 9 weeks to prepare for the hosting of the 30th edition of the Africa Cup of Nations. What's your sense about the country's readiness?
Sunny, I think it was summed up by the CAF president, Issa Hayatou. He said that there will be some problems. He accepts that. He said there will be imperfections. That's the exact word he used. But he said the show will go on. And my sense, Sonny, is that things will be more or less okay. I mean, you're obviously going to get some very angry officials, perhaps a couple of angry coaches. I know, for example, Alain Giresse, the French coach of Senegal, he said that in Mangoma there's only one training pitch. Now, the problem, of course, is you've got the four teams there, the big four of the group of death. You've got Algeria, South Africa, Senegal, and Ghana. Obviously, the timing is going to be very important in the use of that training ground, because the only other training ground is about an hour's drive away and apparently not on the greatest of roads. So my hope is, at least, that you don't find Senegal and South Africa and Ghana all turning up for a 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the evening training session. So there's going to have to be very careful planning of that sort of thing. But I still salute, and I've said this in previous Voice of America shows, I salute Equatorial Guinea. They stepped in at the last minute. They had precisely 63 days, as you said, 9 weeks, I mean. And normally it's a task that's given to a country with a leeway of at least a couple of years. So you could say the odds are against Equatorial Guinea. If I have a major concern on a personal level, it may be about those two pitches that they airlifted in from Europe. They brought in the grass to the two more remote venues, Mangoma and also Ebiyin. I just hope those pitches have settled in nicely, Sonny, because I'm particularly in Group C in Mangoma, this group of deaths, you don't want it spoiled by a very poor surface. Now, my knowledge of pitches is sometimes they blend together very quickly when they're laid, and then other times you do have problems. And let's also hope, Sonny, that Equatorial Guinea now in January and February, which is officially the dry season, but I remember some matches at the previous tournament, played at the same time in 2012, were played in monsoon-like conditions. And I just hope the weather holds up, because that could also obviously upset these newly laid pitches. But overall, Sonny, I think Equatorial Guinea, they've given a vow that everything will be all right on the night. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt for the moment anyway, that things will go pretty smoothly, Sonny. I don't think it can be a seamless situation. There's obviously going to be some hiccups. I just also hope that the officials, the players, and the coaches realize that this is a country who stepped in at the very last minute. 9 weeks. It's an incredibly short period. It's actually nothing short of a mission impossible.
What about Ebola, David? Is that a concern for the teams, officials, and fans in Equatorial Guinea?
It's interesting, Sonny, that it hasn't been featuring as much on the media radar of late. I think people are generally satisfied with the situation in Equatorial Guinea, and I should stress that there has not been one case, not one, of Ebola in Equatorial Guinea itself. And it is some distance away from those sadly, badly hit countries, namely Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. And here again, Sonny, we have had some comments by Issa Hayatou, the CAF president. He says, if a player is contaminated, meaning with Ebola, he will not get into Equatorial Guinea. He says, there has not been one single case of Ebola in Equatorial Guinea, and nobody should be scared. He goes on to say, Sonny, we are not irresponsible. Even us at CAF were human beings. Do you think we at CAF would be there if there was Ebola? Now, that's pretty strong stuff from Issa Hayatou, a man that often shies away from the media, and I feel that's not to his credit at times. He should speak out more. But I feel those words are pretty reassuring. And he also, Sonny, going back to your original question about the preparations, he says, in 2 months, we cannot bring everything together that is needed. There are bound to be some imperfections, but we will do our very best. So I think generally they are encouraging words, both about the Ebola situation and also about the preparations. What strikes me, Sonny, from a distance here in Johannesburg, is that the Equatorial Guineans have worked extremely hard. I think they've taken this task on with a great sense of seriousness and also with national pride, because I think a lot of people are just waiting for them to fail. And, of course, you'll get all the criticism flowing in through the media. And I think the Equatorial Guinean people, remember, just 750,000 of them, one of the smallest countries in Africa, I think they have a real sense that we're going to show Africa and we're going to show the world that we can still, even at such short notice, put on a worthy tournament.
David, I know you've again compiled tidbits about all 16 teams competing in Equatorial Guinea. Let's go group by group and get your thoughts, kicking off with Group A.
Yes, Sonny, and I'm going to do it in alphabetical order, starting with Burkina Faso, and I'm going to look statistically at each of the 16 competitors. They've made 9 previous appearances, and their best performance was in 2013 when they were the runners-up. The overall Burkina Faso record, though, is not that impressive. They played 32 matches, won 4, drew 9, and they've lost 19. Their ranking, Sonny, in Africa it's 18, and in the world it's 64. Who is my key player in the team? I've picked out their midfielder, Jonathan Pitroipa. He was the best player of the tournament in South Africa in 2013. They're coached by a Belgian, Paul Putt. And in Africa, we have great pride in the nicknames of our teams. And the nickname of Burkina Faso is the Stallions. On to Congo Brazzaville. They've made only 6 previous appearances, but they've won the competition way back in 1972. Again, not a particularly impressive record. Played 22, and they've only won 5. They've lost 11. Their rankings in Africa, it's 15, and in the world, it's 61. They've got several contenders for the key player. I've chosen PB Bafuma because of his outstanding performance against Nigeria in the qualifying competition, when he scored twice and created the other goal in a sensational 3-2 victory for Congo over Nigeria. The coach of Congo is Claude Leroy. Now, he's a name we've mentioned many times on the Sunny Side of Sport. He'll be making a record-extending 8th appearance at the Cup of Nations. He really is the grand old man of the CAN competition. And the nickname of the team, same as Manchester United, they're known as the Red Devils. On to Equatorial Guinea. They've only made 1 previous appearance, and that was as the co-hosts in 2012. And on that occasion, they exceeded expectations by reaching the quarterfinals. Their record is really very simple. It's 2 wins and 2 losses. They are the lowest ranked of the 16 teams in the finals. They're 36th in Africa, and they're 118th in the world. As a key player, I've chosen Juvenal Edjogo. He's their captain, and he's a midfield player. Their coach, who was chosen only 11 days before the competition kicks off, is Esteban Becker, and he comes from Argentina. And the interesting thing about him is he led the Equatorial Guinea female team to the African title in 2012. Now, Sonny, that would be one amazing double to lead the women and then the men of Equatorial Guinea to the African titles. Never, ever been done before. And their nickname has got quite a strong impact to it. They're known as the National Thunder. thunder and lightning from the Equatorial Guineans. And the last team in Group A are Gabon. They've made five previous appearances. Their best showings were reaching the quarterfinals twice. Their record, 5 wins, 6 losses, and 4 draws. They are ranked 15th in Africa and 62nd in the world. No doubt about their key player. It's their striker, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who plays in the German Bundesliga. Their coach is Jorg Costa from Portugal, and they're known as the Panthers.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hello, this is Magnus T from calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus T from Onwodu, we're calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best.
And all the best to you, Magnus, on your birthday. That's right, Magnus Chisholm Onwodiwe, a.k.a. the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, is celebrating his birthday this evening in Imo State, Nigeria. Happy birthday, Magnus. In African athletics, two-time world champion Edna Kiplagat will defend her London Marathon title April 26th against three other top Kenyans, Mary Kaitani, Priska Jeptu, and half-marathon world record holder Florence Kiplagat, who is no relation. London Marathon organizers are describing the group as the Fantastic Four. Jeptu won the women's title in London in 2013, while Kaitani captured the crown in 2011 and 2012. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to Yahaeus Wuhib and Kim Lewis.